Welcome to First Star Let's Chat, an athletic therapy podcast. I'm your host, James Gardner, certified athletic therapist, certified strength and conditioning specialist, yoga instructor, human being. This platform for the pros, by the pros, anybody in the performance space, and beyond. Welcome here to share in the stories of professionals, experiences, journeys, learning along the way. It's a platform to connect, to network, and to be a part of a community that cares with conversations that matter, experiences that resonate, and generate ideas, thought-provoking, organic dialogue, passionate probes. Brought to you as always by First Star Therapy, Mobility Tape, Epic, and Benchmark Athletics. In association with the Canadian Athletic Therapists Association, it's First Star Let's Chat, an athletic therapy podcast. Thanks for being here. Thank you for being a part of it. We are finally back on the air with session 113, a special guest that I haven't had the pleasure of meeting in person yet, but feel like we'll have some overlap in the future for sure. Russell Gaither is a performance specialist with Orlando City Soccer Club of the MLS, where he focuses on holistic development of players through nutrition, psychology, and strength and conditioning. Best known for his ability to develop young men and elite athletes, Russell is a purposeful leader who builds meaningful relationships that produce lasting results. 15 years immersed in U.S. elite soccer, including having represented U.S. youth national teams, playing college soccer, coaching at U.S. academy clubs, and training both young and elite athletes in multiple sports. Outside of football, since we are in the time of World Cup soccer, Russell has enjoyed a 10-year career in the marketplace, speaking more than 300 times at major conferences and events where he's focused on topics like leadership, character, purpose, organizational culture, and team development for college and businesses looking to form their people. Russell received his master's in human performance from the University of Florida and has multiple certifications through the National Academy of Sports Medicine. I'll let you say hello, man. It's a pleasure to see you in person and chat again. Welcome aboard.
Awesome, man. Yeah, thanks for the intro. I'm excited to talk to you. I know we had a conversation maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I think we probably both left that conversation saying, hell yeah, let's have some more conversations. So this is excellent.
Yeah, why not do it in a public setting like this? our audience is, generally speaking, our audience is athletic therapists up here in Canada, athletic trainers across the globe, with a scope of practice that reaches and breaches and you know, blurs a lot of black and white, because we see and we get to listen and talk to a lot of different points. Your work caught my eye. Obviously, we have some overlap in the MLS. I've just left the MLS. You're still there with Orlando City. Actually, through a LinkedIn post that I saw, working with the academy. So your work in developing people, and for the audience out there, if you're not doing this, you're missing the boat on what performance is really all about. But maybe just talk to your work within the academy, within the Orlando City SC realm, and where you enhance performance and the relationships. Obviously, we highlighted in your bio, but what is your work currently?
Yeah. So right now I oversee the nutrition of the first team. That will shift in the coming year. I'll start to oversee more of the academy development work. Which is ultimately, I think, in this phase of my life where my heart is. I spent a lot of time working with college and young professionals. And so I really understand where they're at. And so for me right now, I have been on a journey of thinking through how does my own personal development affect the development of really my peers, staff, and athletes. And so I've done a lot of thinking over the last maybe 10 to 12 years on what is leadership development? What does it mean to be a genuine leader? And how do you lead people well? But I've come to the conclusion you can't really lead people well if you haven't actually done your own personal development. In many ways, the psychology piece, the mental skills, the counseling, is just one piece of a greater work of nutrition and the physiological development that we do. But in my opinion, I think that if we're to develop men, we're to develop players, they have to be emotionally mature. So that's the journey that I've been walking down, is how do we help young men become emotionally mature, which will come out on the soccer field, which will come out on the pitch, naturally as they can begin to understand themselves.
Yeah, a beautiful capture, and we've sort of, started toeing the line here in recent work on my side and our side. And the thing that jumped out, I think, probably in synonymously with the work that you're doing, is you develop the whole person. Athletic performance is going to be enhanced. If you do the
Yeah.
reverse, you may not get the same payout. You enhance athletic performance. Who knows what's happening with the whole human? And this is a massive piece.
Yeah, and we see this all the time, right? We see players that drive like Ferraris, right? But they're emotionally the age of an infant, right? And so, I always hark back to the story of Jose Mourinho talking about Mario Balotelli. Have you heard the story where he says, Mario Balotelli gets a yellow card in the 43rd minute to get into halftime, and Mourinho spends 14 out of the 15 minutes begging Mario Balotelli to not lose his composure. 46th minute of the second half, he gets another yellow card. He gets a red card. He's out for the match, right? And so I see that to be true in any locker room that I'm at. These players are Ferraris, they're Lamborghinis, right? But emotionally, when you get onto the pitch, they just can't control themselves, right? And so for me, I ask a lot of questions. Well, where does that begin? What was your home life like, right? Did you have brothers and sisters? How were you treated in that situation? What trauma or what experiences have shaped and molded you into who you are today, right? That ultimately is the conversations that we get into when we're in the middle of a strength and conditioning session, or we're in the middle of eating together and breaking bread at a lunch table, right? Like, those things ultimately come out if you're inquisitive and willing to ask those young players those questions.
Yeah, and I think the willingness to ask is an obvious step that we need to be good at. And then the next one to that is the willingness to listen, and not just for the sake of getting the next word in, but actually hearing what somebody's delivering, right? And in our space, in the professional sports space, and we can go backwards on this or forwards on this, when we have biological maturity, where professional athletes are 23, 24, 25, 30, 32, but they haven't fully developed emotionally because they've been one track minded or driven by success or driven by external validation. There's a lot of missing pieces there. Has that been sort of something that you've sort of highlighted and said, we may not be able to fix, we can tinker with that at this level, but if we go back down into the academy, the younger ages, minor sports, this is where we can have long lasting impact. Is that a fair summation?
It's fair. Yeah, I've come to the conclusion that for most senior players, they are what they are. They've whatever they've done has worked for them to get to that level. Will it help them get to the next level, whether that's a national team, World Cup? Who knows? Most people, I'm looking for a sense of confident humility, vulnerability to be able to even have these conversations. So at Orlando City, we have a first team player by the name of Adam Grinwis. He is one of our goalkeepers. And he is going on a journey right now of really asking the question, who am I? And how does that answer affect my play? Which is really quite vulnerable and quite large. That's a really large question.
Absolutely.
But yeah, to answer your question, I think that the ages of really 15 to 19 are exploration years of who you are. And so many of these players aren't going to college anymore. They're staying in these academies. And so I remember back when I was a college student, college was the best time in my life to explore who I was, right? And I was able to ask difficult questions and mess up and make huge mistakes that ultimately I had to figure out myself. My parents weren't there. And so I think, being able to implement that into the 15 to 9-year-old players has been really kind of a beautiful story and beautiful opportunity to see these boys start to ask themselves the question, who do I want to become?
Yeah, and who am I right now? And then that exploration begins. Who do I want to become? And then how do I get there? And then you start piecing it together with help with people like you and other, you know, professionals in the room to help them, right?
Yeah, and to be quite frank, that will never go away, right? Like you'll
That's
be
it.
40, 50, 60, you're going to continue to ask yourself the question. I mean, I'm even doing that right now. I'm asking myself who I am, who am I in this space? Who do I want to be? When I had my daughter, I asked myself the question, how do I want her to see me? How will she define me? What am I doing now that's going to make her think that I am a good or, you know, interesting or powerful person that she can look up to? So, you know, these questions ultimately, they take work, right? And self-exploration and personal development takes work. And I think a lot of people are already doing work when it comes to, you know, the job. The idea of doing more personal work sounds exhausting because the truth is it is, and it's vulnerable. No one wants to be told that, you know, you're an a-hole in some way, or that you have rough edges that need to be sanded out. Nobody wants that.
Right.
However, when you do sand those things out, what you get is what you've always wanted to become, right? How you want people to not only see you, but how you can really shape and change the world around you.
And some of those difficult listening pieces or difficult questions or difficult conversations are the ones that reveal the most in the long run, you know, and they may be painful and they may be overly difficult, but you know, it's like that, the theory in the physical space, right? Like no pain, no gain. You got to feel this. You got to put in hard work, blood, sweat, tears, right? Nothing worthwhile, I don't think, comes easy, right? And if it does, it probably doesn't last. And I think you're spot on, obviously, with the work that you're doing, and you've hit home with a lot of the academy players there in Orlando. And in our world in Canada, for example, let's use hockey and minor hockey and sports specialization, where kids from like 6 years old start specializing into one sport. They're the next Sidney Crosby. They're the next Austin Matthews. They're the next Connor, whoever they are the next one. But every parent's kid is the next one. And there's thousands and hundreds of thousands of these kids playing. We have skating coaches. We have speed skating coaches. We have shooting coaches. We have skills coaches. We have all these coaches. And I now have the privilege of working with two ex-pro athletes, and neither one of them had a mental performance coach or an introspective coach as to, like, how do we justify external validation being worth more than internal validation? And how do we create internal validation? Like, how do we build that up? I guess let's go there with the question. It's like, how do we build that up in youth? I mean, it's hard work. Where do we begin? How do we teach people within a space that is so externally validated? There's so much external noise, your coaches, your parents, your whoever telling you, you played well, you didn't play well, you have to do this, you don't do that. How do you begin that conversation with youth and sort of, you know, what you think and how you feel matters?
Yeah, it's a good question, because ultimately, whether it's the director of the academy or the coaches or the assistant coaches, they all have their own philosophy.
Right.
And most of the time, these guys have been in soccer or football their whole lives. They've never exited that space. And so they're a product of being molded by that culture and that in the sport. You know, I think for me, taking 10 years away from the game and then coming back has left me thinking and coming up with ideas that are external from the game. That has been incredibly helpful for me, the development of my career, and the ability to be diplomatic in that space. Because you have to be. I mean, in professional sport, if you don't know diplomacy, you're not going to last long.
Right.
And so, you know, working with young kids where a coach and every academy director wants to treat these players like professionals. There has to be somebody in that room that says, no, I'm going to treat them like the 12-year-old kid that they are. I'm going to go on a journey of just listening to them, letting them play, letting them be 12 years old, letting them have fun, right? Letting them joke about whether it's their Pokemon cards or some video game that they're playing, right? Like that they have the ability to just be who they are. It's not fair to them to treat them like professionals. So, you know, we had this conversation today at Orlando City where we were wanting to look at the data, the test data of 12-year-olds. And we all looked at each other at one point and said, whoa, we need to slow down. What are we doing? It's very natural for us to start saying it to a 12-year-old, you need to be better. But the reality is, when we put them in the gym, they can't do something as simple as an overhead squat. They don't know it, right? And so 12-year-olds are sitting down, they're playing video games more, they don't know how to move, they don't know how to function. And that is just as real as the reality that they're just emotionally immature. So for me, how do I do it? There's a couple ways. I'm very intentional with every away game, every training session. When it's time to eat lunch, I share that time with them. I rarely eat with staff. I mostly eat with players. I do that because for me, I think the lunchroom is a sacred space. It's a place where everyone's breaking bread together, everyone's sharing life together, and it's a great opportunity to kind of ingest not just food, but thoughts with these kids. So, whether it's a 12-year-old or a 20-year-old, there's something about the lunchroom that gives space for us to get to know more of each other, right? So
Yeah, I love that.
the active listening space is much easier in the lunchroom than it is really in any other place, right? And so I use that to my advantage. And I think what it's created at Orlando City is a space where kids feel so seen, so cared for, loved, honestly, I think is probably the right word for it. They feel loved that in a short amount of time, they've given me their lives and their careers. And they've said, hey, what should I do? And I've actually earned power, I've earned authority, I've earned respect in their lives, not because I told them how to be a better soccer player, but because I just listened to them and I asked questions about them, right? It's simple things, like this one kid, he really loves pepperoni, right? And he brings his own lunch. We provide lunches, but he loves bringing pepperoni. And so we have this joke with him, like, what would you be? Who would you be if you did not have pepperoni? And his response is, I have no clue. Pepperoni is the best thing in the world, right? Like, he just loves that thing. And so what is that other than a moment of connection where I can look at him on a day where things are getting really hard and I can pull out a piece of pepperoni and say, hey, I see you, right? It's just fun. That's what makes life unique. So I think that the last thing I'll say about it is my favorite movie of all time is a movie called Goodwill Hunting. And there's a scene in the movie where the young kid that's being counseled in the counseling session basically asks the question, what is this painting? And he's like kind of looking at the painting in the office and he's trying to figure out the counselor's life. And he rips the counselor's life to shreds based on this painting that he sees. And the counselor looks back at him and basically asks in frustration says, you looked at my painting once and you had the audacity to make an assumption about my life. Right. And the kid Will in the story, he leaves feeling good about himself because ultimately he wanted to tear the counselor apart. But what he realizes later in the movie is that he thought he was getting out the counselor the whole time. And ultimately the counselor was actually asking him questions that actually just chipped away at his hardness. Right. And so Will ultimately gives his life and his vulnerabilities to this counselor, and they become the best of friends. And I think that ultimately the best way to make it in this game, in this sport, is to ask good, profound, caring questions. And if you are willing to care for people in that way, not only will people feel cared for, but they'll take a bullet for you, right? And because it feels mutual, it feels real, it feels vulnerable, it feels authentic. And that's what I want, right? I want authentic vulnerability. I want confident humility to be addressed in these young men at a ripe age.
Yeah, no, beautiful capture, and we know the movie well, obviously. Goodwill Hunting, a big one, and filmed actually here in Toronto, I think, for a large
Oh
portion
yeah.
I'm familiar with that. I think I heard that on a tour, historic tour of the city once. But I love that, man. Who would you be without pepperoni? Like, that's the question, right? Not how'd you play today? Not how's your ankle recovering? Not these questions that get asked in on repeat through their careers, but actually getting to know something about somebody, knowing who's in the room. And when we talk sort of academy age or pre-adolescent or adolescent pubescent athletes, looking at stats, there's a natural progression curve that is going to take place, whether you put a squat bar on your back or you just wear a backpack around all day or you sit and play video games. There's a natural progression that's going to happen in the S&C space, in the performance space, that we can supplement, sure, in the gym. But they're going to get enough of that through their careers. That doesn't have to be these mini pros, like you mentioned, right? Like these are not mini adults. These are actually humans that are completely different and completely developmental, completely plastic when it comes to, their brains, their bodies, their emotions, their every component of them is plastic, very much so in those windows. And I love that, man. Intentional action and eating lunch together, something that I think you touched on it, and then I'll just highlight it again, is I've done the same in my space as a therapist, like on the therapy side, as an athletic therapist. It's like, I don't want my table behind a closed door where you feel like you're only allowed to come back here if you're injured. And then that takes you out of an environment of being engaged, of being active. Now you're not vulnerable. In fact, now you're probably the opposite. You're probably a little rigid to do a lot of different things, and there's a little less trust. So if we bring the table out and we have, you're in the open space and we're doing open therapy sessions that are active and engaged and doing these things, there's a whole lot more responsiveness of athletes and other practitioners, to sort of break down those barriers. Like, those barriers you talked about are real because you're the professional and this is your space. So now you have authority and power over me, where we
No
sit
doubt.
down and have pepperoni or talk about pepperoni over lunch.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think in the professional sporting realm, people don't understand that authority is not taken, it's given. Right? And so when you enter a space, it's not just your credentials that earn your authority. It's not just your 20 years of experience in, biomechanics or whatever the heck you want to call it. It doesn't matter. What matters is, have I created a space of vulnerability and honesty in which you trust me with your life? And when I say life, I mean your body, right? Your mental, your physical attributes. Do you trust me? And I think that many coaches, many leaders, they assume because of their title, they can take authority. And that's the worst thing that you could do. And because you ultimately isolate yourself. The authority ultimately is not taken, it's given. And you need to learn how to receive that and earn that, right? I think if people understand that when you're talking to a young adult, a young kid, they're naturally going to give you that authority, right? But if you can strip away that authority and become approachable, if the door is always open to them, right? And you'll win over not just their career, you'll win over their life because they will call you when they're 25. They'll call you when they're 30, and they'll ask you questions about what is life questions, marriage questions, right? So this is ultimately, I work in the sport of football. I love football. That is my passion. But we're working with human beings, and so many of these players won't play top professional soccer. And so we need to be able to send them away from the game whenever that time comes with love and feeling like they're better people.
And I think it's authentic. It's not winning anything over. It's not getting buy-in. It's truly being in your unit, like you as the practitioner or the professional in the room, but being an authentic human being to connect with another authentic human being. And like you said, sort of stripping away some of the formalities of titles and roles and all these other things to be there and be there authentically. And you mentioned it, like, for a kid to feel love in a space where, generally speaking, there's a bunch of macho bravado that sort of drives and dictates culture in every sport, right? And toxic masculinity in locker rooms when we're talking male sports. I mean, in generally speaking, in all environments, probably not even just sport, but these are the ones that I can speak to. Being vulnerable is weird. Being vulnerable is soft. Being vulnerable is all these negative connotations to being vulnerable. And I just going back to your the post in LinkedIn, which sort of ignited this for me, topics you cover with these kids. And when we're talking, like, I want the audience to understand that as an athletic therapist, as a strength and conditioning, as a chiropractor, as a physiotherapist, as a mom, a dad, an uncle, a sister, or whatever your title, take the title away. But like, when we're talking performance, when we're talking athletic performance, pursuit in excellence, you're talking in a legitimate scale about confidence, commitment, communication, concentration, control, inner drive, self-awareness, leadership, empathy and care, not only for yourself, but for your teammates and those that are around you. These are skills that are going to last far beyond the pitch, hold weight far outside of the sidelines, the locker rooms, and allow for that love you're expressing, that care that you're expressing, to ripple out into the world. And I see this as like the most impactful work and the most meaningful thing in the performance space that is just not done commonly, right? Like, just it's just not there for most of us that have gone through sport or experienced sport to a high level or even in the amateur space. Like, it's not a primary focus, but yet the enhancement of the human is going to last for the length of lifetime. The athlete is only going to last, you know, a very decreased fraction of that lifetime. So it's just so massive, man. I'm in awe that of the work that you're doing, and just kind of just, you know, having the opportunity to share your story, that this is work that we can do, at least maybe not on our own, but as an athletic therapist who's grown up to like get a shoulder better quicker than anybody else, get a shoulder stronger than anybody else, be the best, do this. Like, it even comes at us as practitioners, not just as athletes, right?
No
And
doubt.
so that check-in on the self allows us to check in on others, I think, as well. And you mentioned that parallel in your life and then your work, right?
No doubt. You know, for the listeners, we went on an 8-week excursion of understanding these are the topics that we want to do. What happens if these boys take the educational series seriously? But then we continue after the 8 weeks of these sessions, we continue to bring it back up. So we built common language within the club. And then what we did was we said, what players will actually like lean into this and we'll build around these players. And we decided to build this in the academy first because we thought the academy would receive it the best. But ultimately the question is how far up the chain of our club would it go?
Right.
And what we found was after every single session, I had at least at the minimum 4 to 5 boys want to sit with me personally and talk about their life issues, which begs the question, who is doing that for them?
Right.
Probably no one.
Yeah.
And so you're in this professional academy where you feel the pressures of making it, the pressures of always performing, the hopes and the dreams that these kids have. They've been told their whole lives that if they work hard, that they'll potentially make it, right? Which isn't a lie, but they're competing against some pretty daunting statistics that say otherwise, right? And so I've just come to the conclusion, man, that if we can't build young men that feel seen, heard, respected, then we're actually damaging kids. We're sending them on their way. After the academy ends, we're just saying, good luck, you know? And so, you know, we see things like Crystal Palace and Southampton that are now creating these after football series where they're allowed to stay at the club for another 12 to like 20 weeks and learn what it means to become somebody outside the game. And they receive counseling and care because ultimately, come on, if we're honest, most of these kids spend every waking moment thinking about the game. And the saddest part is that when they leave the game, when they exit, they don't know who they are and they don't know what skills, gift sets, and passions they have, right? So for me, the 10 years away from the game was the biggest gift to my life because I can now look at these players and say, I have passions outside of football. you don't have to always think about football. You know, are you interested in art?
Yeah.
Good. Learn how to paint. Do you like fashion? Awesome. Have you seen, you know, the latest, you know, shoes or the latest garments, right? And we can talk about that to get their mind away from football, because ultimately I work in performance and I want to increase these guys' performance. But I know that if they feel like they have an outlet somewhere else, they ultimately will perform better on the pitch.
100%.
And so we have to find ways outside of football to let these boys experience their age. Or ultimately we're creating stunted men, right?
That's it.
And I know we've seen this with friends. I see this with old teammates, right? We see this with family members. They are the sport that they grew up in, and when they exit the sport, they still have the same mentality, right?
That's
Because
right.
that's all they've ever known.
Yeah, and you hang up the boots, and now what? Right? That's the end of me. How do I turn the page if I don't have any more pages to turn to? Right?
Yeah.
I just got to
And
go
that's
back.
scary.
Yeah,
That's really
absolutely.
scary, right? I mean, I don't know how many transitions you've had in your life, but transitions are hard. Transitions are vulnerable. Transitions are scary. And
Absolutely.
I think most of us, you know, even me in my playing career, I never wanted to create a plan B. I only said soccer is my plan A.
Yeah.
And when it came to an end, it was scary.
And how
I
many
didn't know who
times?
I
How
was.
many times were you encouraged about a plan B? Right? Like, how many times did somebody step in and say, you know, yeah, you better finish school, or you better do that. You better have a backup plan because you may not make. But like, there wasn't a lot of work. You know, there wasn't a lot of like, hey, we're gonna do this work simultaneously with your pursuit of excellence in the sport. You know, there
Yeah,
was sort of
no
just
doubt.
yeah.
Yeah, and luckily I had you know, family around me that cared for me in that way. But if to be fair, it's not enough, because the mother and the father that love you also don't know. Like my parents didn't know the game like I
Right.
knew it, right? Like they grew up. My mom represented Puerto Rico in gymnastics, and my dad was an American football player. And so, you know, like they just did not understand the soccer culture and
Right.
what went into that. So the last thing I'll say that's on my mind about this is, you know, performance ultimately, I think the performance culture, performance leaders, we like to make performance more complicated than it is, right? Like performance is not that complicated, right? Like eat well, get 8 hours of sleep, you know, train well, you know, take care of your body, you know, have other outlets. I mean, like, what are we talking about here? I think we like to use big language, and ultimately it's confusing and it makes people feel like they can't be a performance trainer. But ultimately, these kids need to know simple things.
That's
We
it.
care about you. We want you to sleep well, right? We want you to have a good meal. And those things will compound on themselves. My wife makes fun of me because I am such a consistent fitness and nutritional guy. Like every day I'm taking my vitamins, I'm eating like clean food, and I'm working out, right? And she asks me all the time, where did you get that from? And ultimately I got it from my mom. My mom just created that culture in my house. The house was, you know, we're going to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner together. Right. And that's not true about so many of these players. And so if that's not true, then how can I be a part of developing that in the club in a way that they feel like, oh, wow, you know, Russell's breaking bread with us. You know, Russell bought this food for us in the club, because ultimately I'm overseeing the nutrition right now. And so they feel like this nutritional moment is a new cultural familial experience for them. So there's so many ways that we can develop this and have, you know, new cultures and new values developed in these kids' life they didn't have maybe when they were younger, they didn't have in their homes, you know. And some kids have that and some kids don't. That's the reality of football. But why not create that and give these young men the best that they can have?
Yeah, this is, oh man, I feel like we could just go on for days and hours. we'll try to leave it sort of where we are and allow people to reach out to you or reach out to me through you or through me to get to you if that's okay. Any listeners that have interest in this, Russell's an open book, as he mentioned in our sort of preamble before we got on here. And you know, me too. And I think this lesson that you provide as well from a professional standpoint is like stepping back before you step in, right? Because I think a lot of our life is just like hit the gas and keep going, and wherever that next job is, keep climbing, keep climbing, keep climbing. And ultimately there's like this pinnacle or this place that's gonna like make us feel like we've actually made it. But then you get there and then there's something else or there's something more, or you hit a veer in the road and you have to step back, or something forces you to step back. But here you are, like you step away from the game, you find all these other experiences, you step back in with so much passion, pride, and just like strength in providing more because you've seen more and you get it. You get the whole picture of developing a whole is going to make the parts better. If the parts are developed in part, the whole doesn't necessarily get better. And I think this is a massive line of work. And again, like, really appreciate you coming on here, taking some time. Russell Gaither is our guest tonight, Orlando City SC in MLS, and doing some amazing stuff, man. And it won't be the last time we talk. It may not be the last time we talk on this podcast. Really appreciate it. I'll let you sort of close this thing out with a good night or however you want to wrap this thing up. But once again, like, truly, this is meaningful work that hits close to home here. And we hope to connect with you and push this message out there, because I think it's important, not just in the professional ranks, not just in academies, but in, you know, minor club soccer, in humanity, because there's this ripple effect that just is far greater than the wait on the bar. It's far greater than you know, what's being served at lunch. It has humanitarian work built into the performance space, and I think that's just massive, man. So thank you for all your hard work. I'm sure all the guys there and everybody you're affiliated with really appreciate it. But from this side of the 49th, best of luck to the US. I know they drew yesterday with Wales, but in the World Cup. All the best, man. Thank you so much, and I look forward to connecting again. Like I said, close this out any way you wish, and really, truly humbled and honored that you'd be on here tonight.
Yeah, thanks, brother. Thanks, James. I've enjoyed the conversation, and you know, I'll end with this. One of my favorite statements is "Be quick to listen and slow to speak." And I think if we can practice that, the ability to listen, and listen well, to lean in, active listening, I think we'll create some really great leaders in our lives that will compound and create other great leaders. So I appreciate you. Feel free to reach out to me. I really check only my LinkedIn and my Instagram the most, but LinkedIn's the best place to get to me. I'm accessible, so if you have a question, or want to talk about, you know, sports psychology or nutrition or strength and conditioning, I would love to have that conversation. But until then, thanks, James. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks again. And to everybody listening out there, be sure to reach out, be sure to listen well, and we look forward to connecting again in the future. Good night. Thanks again for being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this community. Check us out online, firststartherapy.com. That's FIRSTAR therapy.com. Or email us with feedback, consult@firststartherapy.com. CONSULT @firststartherapy.com. On Instagram @firststar.therapy. And our podcast host @letschat.at. This is First Star Let's Chat, an athletic therapy podcast.